Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update from the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer on Veterans Treatment Courts and Mentorship Program, and we'll speak to Congressman Tom Emmer about veterans legislation. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week marks the anniversary of the death of a great leader. General Vang Pao will be known in history books as a charismatic commander of the Secret Army who fought alongside the Americans in the Vietnam War. Even more memorable than his many wartime heroics, General Vang Pao was passionate about improving the lives of Hmong people. Throughout the Vietnam War, he was instrumental in building schoolhouses and establishing health clinics in remote Hmong villages in Laos. He also opened the door for gender equality by insisting that female students be recruited to fill the nurse troop. General Vang Pao established the first ever teacher training program for Hmong students. It created a pool of qualified teachers who were dispersed throughout the countryside. In America, some 35 years after most Hmong fled war-torn Laos, General Vang Pao's leadership and influence never disappeared. He was instrumental in helping to pass the Hmong Veterans Naturalization Act of 2000. It directly helped to elect Hmong Americans into key political offices, giving them representation in their new country. General Vang Pao lived a full life dedicated to making the lives of the Hmong and all Americans better.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we are going to get an update from our Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer. And joining me now is Maria Weatherall, who serves in that position. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good that you found your way all the way from St. Paul over to St. Louis Park to visit with us today in the studio. I appreciate you being here. Now, I understand that you served in the United States Navy.
That's correct. I joined the Navy straight out of high school. I was an early enlister while I was still in high school. And 3 months after graduating, I went into the United States Navy.
And where did you serve in what capacity?
I trained in Orlando in boot camp, and my first duty station was Keflavik, Iceland. And that was back in the day when it was still a NATO base and had Air Force, Marines, and Navy all present there. Came back from Keflavik and served in Florida. I think that was there. We're sorry, you had to go to Keflavik gift. So I was in Pensacola, Florida. And when I discharged from active duty, I was actually in the reserves and based out of sub-base Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. So, yep, it was a great service in the Navy.
Iceland, Florida, and Hawaii.
Correct.
It got better and better, didn't it?
It did. It improved as I went, yes.
I understand it got even better after that because you attended the College of St. Catharines over in St. Paul.
That is correct. Part of my motivation for going in the military, I think, as so many veterans, was take a break after high school, get out of a small town, and take advantage of the GI Bill. And so when I got out of the Navy, I at first went to the U of M for a couple of years and had my generals there. And took a break and then went back to St. Kate's and had the privilege of enjoying a great education there. Just a marvelous place. Graduated with a degree in theology, and it served me well.
Now, that's something of a hidden secret to some folks in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, but it's a beautiful oasis in the middle of St. Paul, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the great benefits of it is that it is a part of a consortium. And so when you attend St. Catharines, you actually can take classes at St. Thomas, Luther, you take classes at Augsburg. So it really actually allows you to enjoy all of these great colleges as part of the consortium. The campus itself is beautiful, and it did start as a women's college. So there's a lot of focus and energy around supporting women in achieving their goals in life, and I really appreciated that.
You said it started as a women's college. Are there men enrolled there now?
There are men enrolled there now, and they do graduate from there now. And as part of the consortium, there was always men in the classes. So
well, that's going to change my whole perception of St. Kate's, because I think about all these sharp ladies from St. Kate's, and now you got some men coming out of there. I'll have to think about that one. So you are the Ramsey County Veterans Service Officer.
That is correct.
And for our listeners, can you explain to them, what does that mean? What do you do?
Well, the veteran service officer is provided for by Minnesota state statute, and they are in every county in Minnesota. So we encourage you to identify who your county veteran service officer is, wherever you may be living in Minnesota. The officer is intended to be a local expert so that veterans have somebody that they can go to help them to access benefits they might be eligible to receive based on their service in the United States military. And we are trained and accredited to this position. So the Fed, VA, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs provides for our training annually. And this keeps us up to date on all of the programs and benefits that are available to veterans, which I should point out, eligibility for each particular benefit is different. So it's really important to have an expert at your side when you're trying to navigate what benefits you might be eligible for.
We're speaking with Maria Weatherall, who's the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Maria, I understand that there's an Association of Veteran Service Officers in Minnesota. And a lot of what the association provides is training and resources so that you know all of the resources that might be available to help our veterans with just about any kind of issue that they come up with.
That is correct. And, you know, one of the things that's great about having the association is that we network together, we work together, we educate together. And I think strength in numbers is represented there. And in addition to that, we are really essentially working with all of the partners who might provide benefits or programs for veterans who have served in the United States military. And having our partners in the community is another essential aspect. They support the veteran service officers wherever they are in the counties throughout Minnesota. And they are a part of the network that we assist veterans and their survivors and dependents with accessing.
So if our veterans in Ramsey County or really anywhere in the state, you can go visit any county veteran service officer you want, have any kind of an issue that's a veteran's issue, be it a claim that they need to process for an injury suffered while they were in the service or anything else that they're trying to sort out that's veterans related, they should call their county veteran service officer, find their DD-214, their discharge, and come over and visit, correct?
Absolutely. Great advice, Tom. That is the essential touch point for anybody that is interested in learning about their benefits. I would also mention that we are here to support those who advocate for veterans. So, for example, when the veteran themselves is unable to come to us, oftentimes we'll meet with family, the spouse, the children of veterans, the neighbors of veterans. Anybody that is advocating on behalf of veterans are people that we serve in our offices. So if you are interested in identifying whether or not you may or may not be eligible for veterans based on your service, go to your veteran service officer. They are your primary support in understanding what you may be eligible to receive.
So our message in this segment is seek out your county veteran service officer. Whether you have your DD-214 or not, go, because they might be able to help you find it. And then if and when you might need them, or if and when your family might need your county veteran service officer, you're registered, you're on record, they know that they can help you.
Listen to this man. He's great. He's got great advice for you. One of the number one things we are asked to do is help people to obtain their document, their DD-214. So if you don't have it, don't worry. Come to us. We're there to help you. In addition to that, we're going to help you with forms. We're going to help you with understanding what the benefits are. We're going to be there for your family when you pass away. And we encourage you to let them know that they can come to us and we will assist with anything that you might be eligible for based on your service in the United States military.
Maria, we're about out of time for this segment, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the Ramsey County Veterans Treatment Court and Mentor Program. We're speaking with Maria Weatherall, the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Maria Weatherall, who is the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer. And we learned that she's a veteran of the United States Navy. And she also had the opportunity, the great opportunity, to attend and graduate from St. Kate's and earned a BA over there and worked her way up to be the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer in February of 2009. And, of course, Maria, we've been talking about our veterans and veterans issues, and one of the things that's important for all our veterans to know is if they've got any questions, any issues of any kind, really the place to start was their County Veteran Service Officer.
That's absolutely right, Tom. And as we said in the last segment, the County Veteran Service Officer is the go-to expert in each county in Minnesota who can help individuals, veterans, survivors, dependents, people advocating for veterans, anybody that is seeking to understand whether or not a veteran may be eligible for benefits based on his service in the United States military.
Now, I'm a West Sider and a Minneapolis boy, but on the other side of the river, Ramsey County, that's one of our biggest counties. You must have a lot of help over there.
Yes, we do. We actually have six staff working in the office. There are four veteran service officers and two veteran services assistants. We also actually have a number of volunteers who come into our office to assist us with the work, and we operate the Ramsey County Veteran Treatment Court Mentor Program. So we have about 30 volunteers engaged there as well.
Okay, and that's one of the things we want to talk about on today's show. You have a Ramsey County Veterans Treatment Court and Mentor Program. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yes. The Ramsey County Veterans Treatment Court is a court that serves veterans who have become involved with law enforcement, have gotten in some trouble. The Veteran Treatment Court is all over the nation beginning in about 2008. And here in Minnesota, the first one was in Hennepin County. I should mention that each veteran treatment court is developed on the basic model and best practices, but each has unique requirements just in terms of who participates and whether or not it is a good fit for an individual. So in Ramsey County, the prosecutor is consulted in every case when an individual is interested in participating in the Ramsey County Veteran Court.
Now, who's eligible to be a part of the Veterans Treatment Court and Mentor Program?
Well, as you might expect, you do need to be a veteran. You must be a resident of Ramsey County. You must have committed a crime in Ramsey County, be at least 18 years of age, and voluntarily agree to enter the program.
Now, Maria, we've had on in the past Pete Orput, who's the Washington County attorney over there, and he explained to me that they have a veterans court over there as well, and that if a veteran comes back from a deployment or comes back from being active duty, whatever it might be, and has an issue, whether it's PTSD or maybe it's a physical issue and they're on some opioids or whatever it might be, and makes a mistake and gets involved in the judicial system, they have some options in various counties, not all counties, but in Ramsey County now you've got this program. And my understanding of what that is they either go through the judicial system and pay the penalty for what they've done, or they might be eligible for this program where they can go into the Veterans Treatment Court and Mentor Program, which is actually a tougher path where they go in and go through a process to try to figure out what caused the problem and solve that so that they can stay away from the judicial system in the future. Is that correct?
That is accurate, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, Tom. I think a lot of times people view the veteran treatment courts around the country as providing some kind of a pass in the justice system, and this is the furthest thing from the truth. As you indicated, there are many requirements for the veteran treatment courts. It is based on the work of all of the engaged and supportive members of the staffing team, which includes the judge, the county attorney, the public defender. VA is present at the table. They're a key partner in the work. Veteran service officers, probation, corrections, law enforcement. So all of us work together to try and support the individual participants who are going through the veteran treatment court and to identify as they go through the court how we can best help them access care, when we need to help them redirect their attention and energy to being successful in achieving the goal of getting through the court, really all designed to try and support them to set themselves on a new path in life. But there are requirements, and there are many requirements, so it is in no way a pass on being responsible.
So it's not a free pass for anyone.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Maria Weatherall, the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. So can you quickly walk us through the process? If they're eligible for this, they meet with all of those folks, they're assigned a mentor, and then they've got kind of a long row to hoe to get clear of all this.
Correct. It takes a minimum of 9 months, but it can take anywhere from 9 months to a couple of years to get through the court's requirements. And this is the point, the entire time they are responsible to report to probation. There are many requirements in connection with treatment, being engaged with the community. So once they have decided that they do want to participate in the court, the group that I mentioned earlier, the county attorney, the judge, the public defender, myself, VA, we meet and talk about the individual's progress each and every week and try and provide them with whatever supports they may need.
Now, these mentors work very closely with the veterans in this process, and they have discussions, and they talk about the issues and what are the opportunities in the future, and if you can work through this, your life is bright and let's move forward. Are you looking for new mentors?
We absolutely are always looking for new mentors. We do operate the Ramsey County Veteran Treatment Court Mentor Program, and it's been an outstanding success. We pair each of the participants with a volunteer veteran, and that person is there to provide them with support, guidance, encouragement, to act as a confidant. And really what I've learned is that the mentor is a key piece of helping that individual to succeed in the veteran treatment court. They're fantastic and volunteer their time for a minimum of 4 hours monthly. But we let the relationships develop in the best way that they can for those two people, the participant and the volunteer mentor.
So if any of our listeners out there want to participate as a mentor in the Veterans Treatment Court Mentor Program, all I have to do is reach out to the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer, and you can find that by Googling it, or you can go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and they've got all the contact information there, and you'd be happy to talk to them.
I absolutely would. They can call 651-266-2545. That is our main line, and ask for Don Lindstrom or Maria Weatherall, and we're happy to talk with them about volunteering as a mentor.
And Maria, we're just about out of time, but for all our listeners all over Minnesota, what would you have to say to them if we have some veterans or families of veterans that need some help?
Seek out your county veteran service officer. They are there to help you to understand what benefits you may be eligible to receive.
And once again, if you go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, they have a list of all the county veteran service officers in the state of Minnesota. Or you can probably just go to the local courthouse and ask around and say, where's the CVSO, the county veteran service officer? And one of the sheriffs up there will point you, send you in the right direction.
That's right.
Maria, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
That was Maria Weatherall, the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer, talking about the Ramsey County Veterans Issues and the Veterans Treatment Court and Mentor Program. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll visit with Congressman Tom Emmer about veterans legislation out in Washington, D.C. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we got a special guest in the studio, Congressman Tom Emmer. We're going to talk to him about his days out in Washington, D.C. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
I'd like to take a minute to thank the various veteran service organizations, legislators, and many others for all the continued support in 2016. Overall, the department was successful in accomplishing important and critical tasks over the last year. I am confident that 2017 will be just as successful. Together, we have worked to better the lives of veterans and their families. I am proud of the work we've done, but there's still a great deal of work to accomplish in serving Minnesota veterans. I am confident the department is up to the challenge. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is proud to assist our nation's heroes, and on behalf of the department, I thank you for your continued support.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Tom Emmer, who is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Minnesota's 6th District. The district includes most of northern suburbs of the Twin Cities, as well as St. Cloud. He was a member of the House of Representatives from 2005 until 2011 here in Minnesota. And he represented District 19B, which includes portions of Wright and Hennepin counties in the cities of Otsego, Albertville, St. Michael, Rockford, Delano, Montrose, and Waverly. And Congressman Emmer, welcome back to the studio. You're in a familiar seat.
Thank you, Tom. And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas to you, sir. And great to have you back in the Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 studios, sitting in a chair where you used to spend a lot of time.
Yeah, it looks like they've upgraded.
We got some new chairs. I think that's about it, Tom.
Yeah, no.
I wanted to just go back a little bit. I know that when you were growing up, you attended St. Thomas Academy.
I did. St. Thomas Military Academy out in Mendota Heights, Minnesota.
And you enjoyed your years there?
I did. I think a lot of us who are graduates of the academy are very grateful for our parents for the sacrifice that they made. It was back then, you know, it still is. You go to St. Thomas, the idea is they're going to prepare you to succeed in the next step of life. But for me, it was a lot more than that, Tom. There's a certain amount of discipline that a young man may benefit from receiving. And I think my parents knew that. Not only was my grandfather, Earl, a great believer in Catholic education, having been a graduate of De La Salle and a big supporter of De La Salle over the years, but he sent all his boys to St. Thomas Academy. And his boys knew, obviously, that the discipline, the respect that you learn is a great part of how you lead your life after you get out of school. And I'm very grateful to have had that opportunity.
It was a great education, Tom. Some of us did it the hard way. We came off the farm and went to basic training.
I understand.
And got it that way.
I didn't get to your level. I can only compare the annual federal inspection where we had to stand, we had to stand for hours while they inspected. And I remember my classmate, I think it was Bill Brombeck, who locked his knees and went face first into the pavement. Yeah.
Good memories, though.
Yes, they are.
And when you finished there, you attended Boston College. And how did you get to the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, Tom?
Well, it's not a long story. You know, I came out of high school. I played hockey from the day that I think I could stand on my hind legs, which a lot of us did. And hockey took me to Boston. I was one of 40 kids invited to try out for a U.S. national team in 1979, and that got me exposed to a guy named Len Siglarski, who was the coach at Boston at that point. So he invited me to come out, set me up with a place to live. It was a wonderful year, but at the end of that year, or during that year, you'll remember, late 70s, early 80s, this country was experiencing some major economic challenges. Not too unlike what we've seen since 2008 in this country. But at that time, the family's lumber business ran into some problems with double-digit interest rates and all the rest. So I took a leave of absence and came back and played in the USHL for a year while my dad and his brothers put the Emmer Brothers Lumber Company back together. And then when it was time to go back to Boston, funny thing happened, Tom. A guy showed up at a game that I was playing with the Junior Stars, and he said, we got this program up at the University of Alaska. You'll get a great education. You can play hockey. And by the way, you can hunt and fish all the time. And what do you think a young kid thinks
I'm
about
in.
That?
I'm in. Let's go.
I went, and it was a great experience.
And then you came back to Minnesota. And what led you to go to William Mitchell College of Law?
You know, I actually, it was interesting. I could have gone into the lumber business, but it was something that just wasn't finished yet. I met my wife. You know, that really is what straightened everything out for me. I had this plan that never came to fruition. I was going to wait until I was 30 years old and had the house and everything paid for. I was actually thinking maybe I'll go to Europe and skate for a year or two, right? But I met this girl from Moundsview that I knew instantly. It was love at first sight for me. It took her a little bit longer. But
still working on that, Tom?
Man, we've been married for 30 years as of last summer and have 7 beautiful kids. No, I convinced her. And I know for me, as I said to her, happy anniversary, she said, yep, it's been a great 25 years. And I said, Jackie, it's been 30. She said, Yep, and it's been a great 25 years.
And we'll see how you do on the Christmas present this year.
Yeah, no, I'll do just fine. But I'm joking, obviously. That's what did it for me, Tom. I had to suddenly get serious about life and what are you going to do? And it was, you know what? I'm going to go to law school. So I went at night. That's why I picked William Mitchell. It offered a night program, and I worked during the day.
We're speaking with Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Tom, I know that you had a successful law practice, but somewhere along the line, you were the member of the Independence and Delano City Councils, and then you went to the state legislature and had some influence over there, and now here you are out in Congress. Was that part of the plan? Where'd that all come from?
No, that was never a plan. It's I think Minnesotans are taught at a very young age about giving back. I mean, I'll go back to your statement. You grew up on the farm and then you went to basic training. You're giving back, man. There's a lot of people that are listening to your show every day that are going to know exactly what I mean. Because I ended up, it was a city council seat in Independence, Minnesota. I ran for this thing because there were issues with development. You know, we lived in the country. I could hunt across the street. I worked in town. They had these developments moving in, and there was a lot of push and pull. So I end up running for the city council. Tom, I got elected, and they gave me a check for, I think, $25 or $50 after the first 2 weeks. Mary Lyons, who's passed away, was the city administrator. She gave me a check, and I said, "What's this for?" And she said, "Well, that's the per diem or stipend, whatever they called it, you know, for serving on the council." And I said, "You get paid?" I thought you were just supposed to, give your time. And I think a lot of people that listen to the show and most Minnesotans, that's what gets you into public service. You're actually giving back to your community, whether you're coaching, whether you're serving in a branch of our armed services, whether you're getting involved in elective politics. And for me, been an interesting, bumpy, winding road.
So it all started when you saw something you wanted to change in Delano or Independence.
Yeah, it all started with a road, quite frankly, out in front of my house. I had 200-year-old oak trees. I had 200-year-old maples, and they were going to pave the dirt road in front of our house. And my wife called me with tears and said, they're going to cut these trees down tomorrow. And I called the mayor, and he drove out.
Save the trees.
The mayor came out in his old Cadillac and his big, fat, whatever phone that was. And we stood there with his lights on the trees at about 10 o'clock at night. And he said, "No, we're going to move this road 15 feet. And I thought, you know what? That's public service. I mean, he solved a problem right there, right then.
So you did save the trees.
Marvin Johnson from Independence, Minnesota, he's still there, the mayor of Independence, and he's a mentor. So,
Tom, I want to congratulate you. You won your second term out in the Congress. I'm sure that you learned a lot in those first 2 years. And I understand you had to change your office building out there.
I did. Well, not the building. We started in Cannon House Office Building, one of the three house office buildings, Cannon 503, which, by the way, you can look at the history of everybody who's ever occupied an office out there. No one of any significance has ever occupied Cannon 503.
Tom Emmer, we got him.
Well, okay, thanks. At any rate, we got evicted. Because that side of the Cannon House office building is going to be renovated now over the next 2 years. So everybody on that side of the building had to move. We are moving into Cannon 315, which I told you off air is the original office of John F. Kennedy, which is, to me, kind of a big deal.
How does that feel?
It's if walls could talk. But we have a picture, and I hope anybody who's listening to your program and you, Tom, next time you visit Washington, D.C., I hope you're either in touch with us before you get there so we can help you set up tours and everything else, whether it's the White House or the Capitol. But I also hope you stop by and see our office because the Library of Congress is going to be doing a thing, putting a plaque on it. We've got pictures. It's really interesting. It's one of the earliest pictures of a first-time elected John F. Kennedy to Congress. He's about 28, 29 years old. He looks like Opie from the Mayberry RFD show.
Well, before we come to visit you out in your new office out there, we'll give you a call because I know your family's back here in Minnesota. You're batching it in D.C., and it'll give you time to put away that cot you sleep on every night.
You know what? I sleep in the office. Paul Ryan's done it for 18 years. There's probably... I don't know, maybe 100 to 150 of us in Congress that do it. When you commute like I do, Tom, you're there 4 days a week, three nights. It really works out.
Tom, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about some veterans issues out in Washington, D.C., and I know that you're doing a lot of collaboration with a gentleman here from Minnesota named Walls, the old Command Sergeant Major. So we're going to talk about that. We're speaking with Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we have a special guest in the studio today. It's Minnesota's 6th Congressional District Congressman, Tom Emmer. And Tom, it's good to catch up with you and find out about your family, your wife and children. Are everybody doing well?
Everybody's doing great. I got my Navy boy coming home tomorrow.
That's
for the Christmas holiday, first time in almost a year and a half that he's going to be back in Minnesota. We're really excited.
Now, how does that feel with you're a congressman and you're involved in what's going on and making decisions and you're watching what's going on with our military and now one of your children is in the Navy?
Well, it brings it home. I mean, as if we already don't know the challenges that our servicemen and women are facing, that our armed forces are trying to deal with because of the sequestration and some other things. You got a family member who is active. You hear firsthand when they say to you, yeah, I may not get to fly this week. Well, okay, we know why, don't we? Time to start looking at what we're doing to give these people the equipment, the resources, the ability to train at the level that they're expected to perform.
Now, Tom, we have a new president-elect coming in, a Republican, and the Republicans have control of the House and the Senate. And how's that? Do you have lots of, I suppose there's lots of discussions, lots of things that the Republicans want to try to fix, change. And one of them is, how do we take care of our veterans? And how do we staff the armed services? How many men do we need? How much equipment? How many ships? How many aircraft? Must be big discussions going on.
There are, Tom. And one thing I just want to make clear, because I know you have a very broad range of folks that listen to your program. Yes, Republicans are going to be in the majority, but these solutions, when we talk about our armed services, are going to have to involve Republicans and Democrats alike. And people should be aware that this is not just a Republican issue. There are Democrats, some of which I work with that you know, that understand the real challenges that have been created over the last decade when it comes to our armed services. So, yes, there are big discussions as we watch the president-elect build his cabinet. I think the campaign candidate we're not really seeing that candidate that we saw. We are now seeing a presidential process where it's very thoughtful. It appears that we are going to have someone who is very decisive, but he is going to surround himself with people, whether it's former General Flynn or General Mattis. He is surrounding himself with people that are going to bring a certain expertise in particular on this issue. And for your listeners, in case they aren't aware, the incoming administration is committed to fully repeal the defense sequester and submit a new budget to rebuild our depleted military. This is one of their priorities. What that's going to look like, I told you off the air, I know the number for the Army that they've told us. They want to increase the size of the active duty soldiers in our Army to a little over a half a million to about 540,000. I don't have the numbers for the other one. You showed me an article that's out today about the real challenges our Air Force has, but it doesn't stop there, right? The Navy has some serious needs. It doesn't matter what branch. We really have to remember, first and foremost, our Constitution says our federal government has the obligation to protect the United States of America and its citizens. This is the number one obligation we have. We have to make sure that we're doing the right things in terms of funding and resources for our military.
Tom, for our listeners, in case they don't recall, sequestration was something that Congress came up with some years back, and it was an attempt to reduce $1 trillion from the budget over a period of 10 years, $100 billion a year. Half of that was to come out of the Department of Defense and the other half out of other funds. And there's a few years left of that. And it was one of the questions today, Tom, for you was, Are we going to have the votes now to finally put an end to this terrible thing called sequestration?
Tom, the problems are even deeper than you said. It's not just a matter of not flying. We've put our armed services, and if you're talking about planes, for instance, we have put our armed services in a situation where they're cannibalizing other equipment to keep equipment running. I mean, this has gotten into a crisis a level. I am proud to say that I was not there in 2011 when the Budget Control Act was passed, which is what sequestration is all about. And for people who are listening, this is all about – this is basically the concept they used. Non-discretionary spending, discretionary spending. They can't touch the non, so they went after discretionary, which is a very small part of the budget today, which is why you will hear as we go forward, we have to reform non-discretionary spending because it's overwhelming the rest of the budget, right? You won't be able to provide the things we have to if you don't do the reforms in non-discretionary. But the issue with discretionary where Congress could deal with it, what they said was when it comes to our military, we're going to put that at the same level as these luxury items, in my opinion, you know, these other programs. If you're going to cut from these, we'll call them nice programs, then you also have to cut an equal amount from our military spending. So they tied the two together instead of saying what's our priority, which the Constitution says you got to protect America. You got to protect freedom here at home. That should have been our priority. And by the way, if you don't set priorities and everything's a priority, then you got a problem. And that's why it's going to be time for sequestration to go. And let's start taking the advice from the military people, the experts. Let's make sure that we're providing, again, the resources necessary so that we can have our armed services at the level they need to be.
Glad to hear there's a chance that we might finally get rid of sequestration. And as we've both heard before, Tom, the best way to maintain peace and keep peace is to be prepared for war and have a strong military and have the rest of the world think twice about taking us on.
Peace through strength, Tom.
Peace through strength. Yes, sir. We're speaking to Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Tom, you referred a few minutes ago to Congress and veterans issues. I think veterans issues and our the issue of maintaining a strong military are bipartisan. But one of the best examples of bipartisanship that I've seen is you and the Sergeant Major, Congressman Walz, were up at the St. Cloud VA trying to help work through some issues up there. And I understand they've made some pretty good progress.
Yeah, they have. And here's the thing, it's something, words mean things. So for your listeners, Tom, I don't use the term bipartisan anymore because the problem with the word to me, it suggests when you start the discussion that there is an us and a them. I call it nonpartisan. I mean, when we talk about our military, when we talk about our VA, this is a nonpartisan issue. This
an
is
American
about,
issue.
Thank you. That's the point. And I'm not pushing back on you, but I think all of us should start talking in terms the way we think because we know this is not supposed to be about Democrats and Republicans or something else. This is supposed to be about Americans. And what we did up at the St. Cloud VA, and I am thankful and grateful for it, is Congressman Tim Walz. Actually, because he was one of the ranking members on the VA committee in the House, in the minority, and he's got a background in it. He offered to work with me going up to the St. Cloud VA. We had some issues with, the rank and file folks that are working on behalf of our veterans and the management. And it was not just productive. I think we've seen some good results coming out of it. There's been a change in leadership up at the VA. I think people are – it's restoring their confidence. And by the way, not just in people who go to treat at the VA, people who work at the VA. You know, they work so hard to honor their commitment to our veterans, to the men and women who have served this country. And they want to make sure that they're meeting that commitment. And when they feel like they're not, you really have a destructive culture. And I think – the get-togethers that we had with employees and management up there, and then the actual follow-through after, it seems to have started a good process. But here's the only caution: you can't assume that we're done. You got to keep working. There's a lot left to be addressed.
Vigilance at all times.
That's right.
I think you've heard me say this before, but I get my medical care from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and I have for many years. And I have not found one single person out there that isn't totally dedicated and taking the best care of the veterans we can see. I think we're blessed in Minnesota with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and the St. Cloud VA to have really great facilities compared to some of them around the country.
Well, and I haven't seen all the ones around the country. What I would say to you is that's the best point that you could make, because we paint with such a broad brush, right? You do have some problems within the national VA system. We've had some reports that have been documented of problems, people not getting care that they deserve and they need, and it leads to very serious consequences. But that doesn't mean that everybody that works in the VA, whether it's Minneapolis, St. Cloud, or somewhere else, is a problem. Frankly, the vast majority of them are fantastic, and we got to remember that.
Tom, we've just got a couple of minutes left on this show. What are you looking forward to in 2017 when it comes to time to take care of our service members, their families, and our veterans?
I'm looking forward to more reforms, targeted reforms when it comes to the VA system. The outgoing chairman of the committee, Jeff Miller from Florida, is a candidate for the VA position. I don't know if he'll get it. But the incoming guy, Dr. Phil Rowe, is not only a veteran, a service veteran, but he's a doctor who has built a medical practice. And he says, look, we got to start looking at the way we deliver services. We're dealing with a bricks and mortar system that is, frankly, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. We got to start bringing it into the 21st century and make sure that it delivers. It's nimble and it can deliver these. In the age of the minute clinic, we got to be able to deliver to our servicemen and women. So I'm excited about that. And I want to tell you, we're also excited about holding another Veterans Resource Fair, which is something we started in the first term. We got a great response from vendors, Tom. We headed up in Monticello. We got to get the word out and start getting people in. So as soon as we get that up, people should be looking at emmer.house.gov for announcements. And please check in with us, because if there's ever anything we can do for any service man or woman in this state or their family, let's not leave out their family, because you know how important that is, Tom.
Yes, sir.
They should not hesitate to contact us, and you do not have to live in the 6th Congressional District of Minnesota. This office belongs to you.
Tom, please let us know when that event comes up, and we'll make sure that we get the notice out on the air here and try to support it. And thank you for serving in Congress and taking care of all Minnesotans.
Well, thank you, and thank all your listeners and their families for their service to this great country. Looking forward to 2017. God bless you.
Appreciate you stopping in the studio today, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
As Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Maria Weatherall, the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer. Congressman Tom Emmer. Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week for our annual Year in Review show with the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash, and the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelleto. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, wishing you a happy and prosperous new year and hoping that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.